Mics are live.
Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. We will open two informal hearing cases, PU-17-228, Montana Dakota Utilities and Rough Rider Electric Service Area Agreement for the City of Belfield, and PU-17-229, MDU, and the City of Belfield's Service Agreement, Public Convenience and Necessity case. I'm Randy Christman, Chairman of the Public Service Commission. With me are the other commissioners, Brian Crashus and Julie Fedorchak, as well as Sarah Cardwell, Victor Shook, Steve Call, and Jerry Lean from our staff. I believe speaking on behalf of MDU will include Tammy Aberle, Craig Lowstreeter, Marlene Wallander, and Jacob Zettel. And for Rough Rider Electric, Chris Baumgartner and Don Franklin. Is anyone else scheduled to speak? Jason Benz?
Benz, yes.
Okay, I just want to make clear for the record, this is an informal hearing. If we would get into any disputed evidence, we will have to stop the informal and proceed to a formal hearing. With that, I don't have any opening comments. Do you, Commissioner?
No opening comments.
I don't either. Well, other than this is a happy occasion. I like coming together for these. And I want to just give kudos to all of you guys for doing the hard work to get to this point. Because
I know this isn't easy. There's probably a lot of time that went into this. And hopefully it's time well spent and saves everybody time and money in the long run. So good job on getting here, and I'm happy to be part of these kinds of proceedings.
And I guess I missed one thing for the record. We started at about 2:05 p.m. on July 26, 2017. Who's taking the lead on this and getting the ball rolling?
This is Tammy Aberle with Montana Dakota Utilities. I can
One more thing. Yeah. Speak closely into the microphone.
I'm going to just add a few brief opening remarks. And as noted, there's a few folks with me here today in the room. Craig's in the room. Marlene and Jake are on the phone in our Dickinson office, available for questions. With regard to these agreements, as noted, these guys did a great job in getting all of these pulled together, and my job is to get them on file. So I will be brief, but if we're talking about the Belfield case first, the service area agreement between ourselves and Rough Rider Electric, as noted in the agreement, it complies with Chapter 490306 of the North Dakota Century Code, and is in the public interest for the reasons noted in the application and consistent with that part of the code. The City of Belfield has issued a franchise agreement to Montana Dakota and Rough Rider, consistent with the service area agreement. I would note that we also then, as Montana Dakota our own, needed to file for a certificate of public convenience and necessity. And we do that so that we don't have to file for that each time we serve someone within that service area that has been defined as in accordance with that statute. The IOU would be required to get a certificate. So we have done this in other of these service area agreements. So basically kind of keeps that all together and avoids a lot of unnecessary administrative work in getting the certificate for each customer. As we move through, we have entered into one other service area agreement with Rough Rider Electric for the City of Dickinson, and we have seven other service area agreements in place with five other rural electric cooperatives. So we think that this process.
Seven agreements with five companies?
Five companies, yes. That this works well. We request that you approve the service area agreement and issue the Certificate of Public Inconvenience and Necessity for Montana, Dakota.
your portfolio is getting.
Yeah, just as a way of background, and Tammy, you alluded to this. This is a part of Title 49, Chapter 3, Section 6 of the Century Code. And Chapter 3 in particular is the electric utility franchise chapter, otherwise commonly referred to as the Territorial Integrity Act. But the law does provide an avenue for two parties to come together and hopefully come to an agreement, which is what we're looking for confirmation on in terms of between Montana and Dakota utilities and Montana-Dakota utilities and Rough Rider. So I guess for me, I would like to hear from Rough Rider to confirm that they also are in similar agreement that you two have gotten together and come to a consensus on this.
This is Don Franklin with Rough Rider Electric. We've been working on different service agreements through the years. As Tammy alluded, the Dickinson one, and we've been working through a number of the details on these four that are here today. And I think we have come to mutual agreement in all areas that we could identify. So we really, it's been a lot of work. My folks, Jason and Leonard, as well as Greg, have done a lot of work in this, and they've come to what I consider a good agreement. So,
I don't have any. I mean, I read through them all and looked at the territories, and quite honestly, you guys know your infrastructure and what you're giving up and what you're gaining, and if it works for you, I think it works probably pretty well for the public. And I don't have any big questions for you. Maybe Randy does.
I do have a couple of questions, and you can both answer whoever wants to, I guess. So looking at this map of Belfield, the blue outline I understand to be the city city limit boundary, and then there's the black outline that outlines the area being covered by this service agreement. Where does that line come from? I mean, you're clearly going outside of the city limit line. So how do you decide where to cut it off?
This is Jason Benz with Rough Rider Electric. Working with Belfield here and Jacob and Dickinson, we felt that this was an avenue for MDU and Rough Rider both to grow equally throughout the service area agreement dates in provided in the agreement here. And we have infrastructure in that areas and basically just picked that spot to stop and figured it would be a good spot too.
Let me be more specific.
Okay.
Maybe my question will make more sense then. To the left side near the top, you know, well, on the left side of the map, it's going up. The first section is green Rough Rider. The next section is red MDU. And then the next section, you didn't go all the way to the west. You only went halfways, and there appears to be a highway near the center line of that section, and the south side is MDU, and the north side is Rough Rider. Why didn't you go the other half mile west again out there? I'm trying to understand that's even the part that is covered in the agreement is not in the city limits.
Sure.
So why did you address that half section but not the other half section?
And I believe our engineers, they put in the boundary for the extraterritorial. That may be part of it, but no real arbitrary reason why we picked that, other than that's kind of where our infrastructure stopped and theirs started, type of thing. So,
and Belfield would be Jacob that you referenced on the phone. Jake, did you have anything to add to that question?
No, not really. For the most part, it looks like it's about a mile outside of the city limits, so that was kind of our rule of thumb, and then it was adjusted for various other details. So I think we started roughly a mile out on the existing city limits, thinking that would be where it would be likely to have possible annexations in the city. So we use that as a general starting point.
Okay, and I see now within some rounding that around a mile is kind of what's covered. Are the other three cases, is that about the distance, or did some of them go quite a bit more or less?
Go ahead, Craig.
It's Craig Lowe with MDU. Yeah, they're not arbitrary, but when you look at where infrastructure is, where the roads are, where possible future growth might be, and where each company is now, and kind of having that crystal ball look and trying to plan out for a 20-year agreement, those were all taken into consideration to come up with a reasonable area for a service area agreement.
Okay, and I'm going to use my same little corner there because it just makes an example to make questions make sense. So someone in that half section further to the west that's not addressed in this agreement could presumably get power from either company depending on the circumstances, but if it happened to be from MDU at some point, that you would first need to come in and get a certificate from us, as opposed to Rough Rider, who for whom would not have that responsibility.
That is correct.
But on the east side, the part that's addressed, you will, if this is approved, you would already have your certificate. And so if it's a new service, Rough Rider wouldn't have a challenge for you, nor you for someone on the north side.
Correct.
Correct.
Okay. And then I'm guessing that somewhere in here, some of this that's in red, someone has a Rough Rider hookup. And somewhere in the green, somebody probably has an MDU hookup.
That is correct.
Tell me about what's going to happen with those folks.
We've kind of addressed that, Jacob and I, in the city of Belfield and in South Hart, and then with Craig in Beulah and Hazen. But current members are going to stay current members unless we see some safety problems that will arise. But we don't foresee that happening with it right now. So if in the future we have a safety issue or anything that comes up that's where we feel that we could trade customers around, we would then go talk to them, customers individually, and get their okay before we do anything like that.
What if there was a change in ownership or a change in service requirements on one of those customers that are in the wrong area, if you will? Would that kind of trigger a potential event?
Right, and I think that's in here. It's yeah, okay. So if it becomes a larger customer, obviously either one of us, whichever area it would be in, would be able to serve that at that time. So
okay.
So as a follow up, does either party believe that this would result, and this is out of respect for ratepayers, and that this would result in an unnecessary duplication of resources, which would be one of the criteria we would look at?
It's just the opposite, Commissioner. The intent is to help avoid those unreasonable duplication. You know, we have set areas. That's one of the things about the service area agreement and the area that's chosen. You can plan for your infrastructure and plan how you need to build out rather than kind of haphazardly not knowing where your service area is going to be.
Okay. And we, from Rough Rider's perspective?
From Rough Rider's perspective, we've worked with Montana Dakota Utilities many times through the years, trying to not duplicate services where it's not necessary, being very respectful of each other in the process. It's in everybody's best interest not to duplicate if we don't have to. It's in the best interest of North Dakota for doing that.
Okay, thank you.
And so even once this is established, to go back to my example where someone is getting served by whoever's not indicated on here, now maybe they need another hookup. Kid moves out to the farm, they want a separate hookup. That company who's not serving in their service area has facilities right there. The other one would have to come all the way across the land. Is that a relatively simple process, or does this make this a hard and fast rule that anything new will have to be by the one who's...
Well, and I think we've got examples in the past where we've tried to work with each other through these challenges. As the map indicates, there's a lot of land mass there, and the green, it would be for Rough Rider. The red is for Montana Coal Utilities. We respect that, but we're going to have to visit at times when it just, for whatever reason, is in the economic best interest of the consumer as well as the different companies.
So logical.
Try to be very respectful in the process.
And I think, Commissioner, we have a track record. We have a history. Periodically, this happens in all of our areas where it just is more economical for MDU to serve a particular location or for us. And so we that is top of mind, what is in the best interest of the member consumer for both of our organizations.
No other questions for me?
Is there any objection to the evidence produced here, which is both the written paperwork as well as the audio and visual becoming part of the official record?
No objection from Montana, Dakota.
No objection from Rough Rider.
Okay. Hearing neither side objects to that, the evidence will become part of the record on which a decision will be based. Are there any other matters anyone wants on the record? Then we will close this informal hearing. Yeah, the next one's scheduled at 2:15, so we can move right into it.
Just a second, please.
Okay.